here in America to worship God the Father. I love that song we just sang. Jesus, lover of my soul. He is truly the lover of my soul. He saved my life. He saved your life if you have Jesus Christ. And even if you don't today, listen to me, he still died for you. Jesus Christ still died for you. Even if you don't have salvation, he still died for you, and he asked you to take it. Take the gift of salvation. Take it now. You just might miss it. Listen to me very closely. You just might miss it. You might have been in this church for 20 years. If you don't have salvation, you got nothing. You got nothing. The Christian life is truly hard. Worshiping every single day with all of your heart, wholeheartedly, is very, very difficult to do. The world tries to drag you down. It makes you exhausted. It wears you down. Listen to me. God deserves every single praise that we can possibly give him. He deserves our worship till the very end. We sang that. We sang that this evening. I will worship him till the very end, the end of your life. When you depart from this life, I pray that you can say, I've worshiped him until the very end of my life. He deserves our whole heart, complete worship. Everything you have, your innermost part, he deserves it. He died for it. He paid your debt. He deserves every bit of worship that you can give. I can't express to you how good our God is. How great he's been to us. How gracious he has been to us. I don't understand it. I've said it multiple times when I've been up here. We don't deserve it, church. We don't. But he is a loving, loving Father who gives and gives and gives. And it seems like the world wants to just keep taking. He deserves our worship. Church, he deserves it. He deserves it. Even when it's hard, even when it's hard to give him everything, he still deserves it. Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's paid the price. He has paid your debt in full. I pray this church can praise him every day. Praise him every single day. We're going to be in Numbers 28. We're going to be in three different spots this evening. You ever just been in a moment, you're reading in the Bible and you just don't understand that term? You don't understand what they're talking about? A lot of these offerings that the Israelites had to offer up, I don't understand why they had to do it. A lot of people ask, why did they have to sacrifice in the Old Testament? Why did they have to give all these different types of offerings day after day after day? So I just want to look at this for a moment. Here in Numbers chapter 28, starting in verse 1. We won't read it all, just a little short piece here. The Lord said to Moses, give this command to the Israelites and say to them, make sure that you present to me at the appointed time my food offerings as an aroma pleasing to me. Say to them, this is the food offering you are to present to the Lord. 2 lambs a year old without defect as a regular burnt offering each day. Offer 1 lamb in the morning and the other at twilight, together with the grain offering of a tenth of the ephah of the finest flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives. This is the regular burnt offering instituted on Mount Sinai as a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord, the accompanying drink offering to be a quarter of a hin, a fermented drink with each lamb. Pour out the drink offering to the Lord at the sanctuary. Offer the second lamb at twilight along with the same kind of grain offering and drink offering that you offer in the morning. This is the food offering in aroma pleasing to the Lord. I want to talk about this thing called a drink offering because you're going to hear it a lot in the Old Testament. You're going to hear this drink offering, these people offering up this drink. We're going to talk about it for a minute. See, what they would do is they would sacrifice these animals. And if it wasn't a sin offering, they would take the finest wine, the finest fermented drink they have, and then they would pour it over the ashes. They would do this for God. Because when they would pour this wine over, it would cause this sweet smell to come up from the fire. And it pleased, it was a sweet aroma to God. See, this drink offering represented the completed work of God. We're not going to turn there, but I just want to. We did this study on Genesis, and hopefully everybody who did it knows the story of Jacob. See, Jacob, he betrayed his brother, all this stuff. He goes out. He runs away because he's scared. But anyways, God comes to him in a vision. God comes to him in a dream and says, go back. Go back to your brother. Basically, make it right. See, when this happened, when Jacob makes it right, when he does what God wants him to do, Jacob goes back to the place before these offerings were ever instituted. And he takes the finest wine and he builds a pillar, an altar, and he just sprinkles the drink offering over the altar before he was ever supposed to, before it was required. He did this as an act of worship. This is what the Israelites would do. They would take this wine as an act of worship, not to please themselves. They're giving away their stuff. That wouldn't please me. They're giving their best to God. This was all about the offerings. It had to be the best. You couldn't give the lamb with the one eye. You couldn't give the goat who had the broken leg. God wanted the best. No defects. He wants the best. Well, how does this apply to us? You might be wondering, well, why are we in Numbers? When is a pastor ever in Numbers? I just want us to understand for a minute what the Israelites did every day. This was their daily offering. In the morning and at twilight, they sacrificed and they would take this drink offering and pour it out. They would continue to pour this out. It would go with all their offerings, everyone except the sin offering. Well, that's a little weird because there is no pleasure in sin. There is no joy in sin, and God knows that. God knows there's no pleasure in sin, so they didn't sprinkle the wine over the sin offering. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. There's two moments in the New Testament where Paul talks about this drink offering, but it's a little bit different. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul is willing to sacrifice his life. See, Paul here, he's not in some mansion. He's not in some hotel. He's in prison. Paul here is in prison and he's saying, I am being poured out. I am being poured out for you Philippians, for you, the church of Philippi. Paul understood, listen to me, that the Old Testament, the sacrifices don't apply to us anymore. They apply much, much deeper now. Much, much deeper. We don't sacrifice the wine, we sacrifice our life. We are the drink offering. We are the sweet aroma to God with our life. That's much, much harder than the Israelites had to do. It seemed like they had to do a lot, and they did. That was their act of worship. But we are called to serve God with everything. We are the sacrifice to God that pleases Him. When we are blameless and pure, sinless, we are pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. And listen to me. Listen to me closely. It is joyful to give everything. To be poured out every single day on your fellow believers in Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and also pouring out to God in worship. I pray that today you worship with all your heart. You understood what you sang today. You understood that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We are called to be poured out, to be the sacrifice, the best. We are to bring our best in this sanctuary every day. Every time you walk in this place, you are called to bring your best. No defects. You have to bring your best. And listen to me, that's not easy to do. Many of us here, no, I told you just before, it's hard. You become tired and exhausted. Ministry does this. We know that here in this church. Ministry is hard. It is tiring. You get exhausted. It feels like you're literally being poured out. Your spirit is being poured out on everybody. And how do you make it through? How can you possibly make it through? You have to understand what Paul here says. He says here, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Listen to me. The work we do here for Christ is never in vain. Never in vain. Don't you give up. Don't you stop, because it's not in vain. It's for the good purpose of God and God alone. God alone. See, God sees your worship. That can be a very comforting thing or not so comforting. God sees your heart when you come in here. God sees your heart when you're trying to worship in the car. God sees your heart at home. God sees every single thing that you do. And that, I'm telling you right now, it affects your worship. I pray that this church can be that sweet aroma to God. That sweet smell that's pleasing, that aroma that's pleasing to God. There's many things in life that are going to try to hold your worship back. You're going to realize pretty quick, you're going to come in here, and there's going to be times where it's hard to worship. It's hard to make it through. It's hard to keep a good attitude, a positive attitude in here. There are things that hold us back from being the drink offering. The offering that God accepts. And the number one thing, listen, I'm going to be a little bit hard here. Sin will hold you back. Sin is unacceptable to God. God doesn't want sin in your life. Sin makes us defective. Sin adds a big stain on you. It makes you messy. It makes you ugly towards God. And listen to me, you can't clean it yourself. You can't clean it. If you're living in sin, you can't clean it yourself. You have to have Christ come into your life to clean the sin, to remove the sin. Then you can be the aroma that is pleasing to God. God would not accept the sacrifices of the Old Testament if it wasn't the best. We see that in the story of Cain and Abel. He didn't accept Cain's. It wasn't pleasing to him. We've got to bring our best in the house of God. That is not easy to do. I'm going to keep saying it. I want to drive this point across to you. It is unacceptable to sin. It is unacceptable to be living in sin in your life. To have sin in your life that hurts you. It separates you from God. When you sin, you are saying God is not enough. It's as plain as that. I'm not here to say that you are to be perfect. That you're never going to sin, because that would be false. That wouldn't be the truth. Because we all know we fall short of the glory of God. We don't make it. But listen to me, when we allow Christ to come in, to remove it, to take it away, then you can come in here and worship with your whole heart. We see it many times. Jimmy, multiple times on Wednesdays, has been talking about these kings. I like it. The stories you don't get to hear very often. 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you don't see that very much. You'll see three categories normally of these kings. A king that gets it right, a king that doesn't get it right, but then there's a middle piece. A king that just doesn't serve wholeheartedly, who doesn't have his whole heart, does some good things, but also a lot of bad things. And then the Bible says he didn't serve God with his whole heart. I pray that is not said for the same to you this evening. That I didn't serve God with my whole heart. Listen to me, that will come up. I pray that you can evaluate your life today and ask God, is there sin keeping me from worshiping you? Allowing you to do a good work in my life. Sin stops all of it. Sin is the worst thing. It is the thing that causes death. It's the thing that causes destruction. And listen to me, it's the thing that sends people to hell. It sends them there for eternity. And that's a sad, sad thing. But listen to me, God loved us so much, He sent His Son. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us so that we might worship Him. See, the rocks cry out. All the stars in heaven, they worship. They worship. All creation worship. How much more should the people made in the image of God worship? Made in the image of God worship the Creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords. How much more should we worship than the birds that He created? We are called to worship. We are made to worship. We are made to worship wholeheartedly with everything, even when it's hard. And I keep saying it because it is hard. It will always be hard. But oh, where the rejoicing in your worship. The rejoicing in your worship. That's the one thing. Your life can be crumbling. We sang it in the song. Your life can be crumbling. But when you come and worship with your whole heart, Jesus lifts you up. Jesus is your strength. Jesus is the one who picks you up when it doesn't seem like it's going to be possible. And this is exactly what Paul here is saying. I'm being poured out. I might die in prison. I might not make it to you again. I hope to make it to you, the Church of Philippi. I hope I can make it to you. But if I don't, I'm still being poured out to you. To see you succeed. To see the church succeed. And what does a church look like to succeed? They live for Christ. They live for nothing but Christ. They have God in their life and nothing else. They don't worship money. They don't worship possessions or material things or people, mom or dad, whatever it is. They worship God alone. God alone. That's what a successful church looks like, a church that worships with their whole heart. Listen, the second thing, many of us struggle with this, and Paul here says it in two words, our attitude. Our attitude will hold you back from worshiping with your whole heart. He says here, do everything without grumbling or arguing. I bet you half of the people in here has done that today. I bet half the people's done that. I've probably done it and didn't even realize it comes natural to us. It's part of our sin nature. We have to ask God to help us through all of it. We have to have God in our life to not be able to grumble or argue. So that why is it so bad that we complain and argue? We do it all the time. It says, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in what? A warped and crooked generation. Listen, we are called to live different. And a believer who worships God with their whole heart looks a lot different than the world. A Christian who allows God to work in their life, you see it. You can't not see it. When a Christian allows God to be everything in their life, they don't even have to do anything crazy. You just can see the light off of them. And that's exactly what Paul here says. It says, then you will shine among the stars. You will shine like the stars in the sky. This is how powerful the light of Christ is. How powerful the light of Christ is, that you can shine just as bright as the stars in the sky. What a Savior to be able to give us that light so that more people have the opportunity for salvation. I pray that we want that this evening. Our attitude affects it. The little things. You wouldn't think something as simple as an argument or grumbling about a certain situation can change just the thought of someone receiving salvation in their life. It's a hard thing to take in. Because that means we have to keep in check everything. We have to take every thought captive. We have to allow God to take every thought, every idea, every opinion, every action that we want to do has to be taken captive by Christ. He has to take it. Because we slip up. Many of us have said things we don't mean because of a moment. And it affects the relationship you have with that person. It affects everything. Everything. He says here also, as you hold firmly to the word of life, your greatest weapon in this life is the word of God. The Bible you have at your fingertips, or whether you have it on your phones, it doesn't matter. It's the same words. It's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the words of God. And if you want to know how to worship, if you want to know how to worship with your whole heart, you've got to start in the Word. You won't be able to do it. It's completely different. Worshiping with your heart, with your whole heart, doesn't come naturally. It's a supernatural thing. It's only a God thing that you can worship. Only God can allow you to worship. And Paul here knows that he could never be poured out like a drink offering if it wasn't for the completed work of Christ. He wouldn't be able to do it. We have to also remember who is on the throne. Who is on the throne? Who sits on the throne? Do you sit on the throne, or does God sit on the throne of your life? See, when God sits on the throne, then it's a lot easier to worship. You don't worship yourself. You worship the one who's on the throne. See, that's the problem that we have today in the many, many churches, is there's too many people on the throne. There's too many people trying to move the hand of God themselves. Let the hand of God move where God wants it to move. And then true worship comes. True worship. God is in charge. I hope that can bring joy to your life. I hope that itself can bring joy, knowing that God holds everything in His hands. It brings joy to me because that takes a whole lot of work off of me. Takes a whole lot of stress off of me. Takes a whole lot of anxiety off of me. And there's a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety in this world today. And if we just allowed God to be on the throne, maybe those would just disappear. Maybe those would just go away for a little while, because we're here in the house of God. We're here in the house of God to do one thing, to worship. To worship together. To worship as one body. We are called to do that, church, to worship as one body, so that we are a sweet aroma to God. See, all this is, it says here in verse 13, for it is God who works in you. You don't work in you. God works in you. And to act in order to fulfill whose purpose? His good purpose. Not a bad purpose, not an okay purpose, but a good purpose, a great purpose in your life. And I hope that you can grab a hold of that purpose. Whatever purpose God has for you, when you grab a hold of it, it's a little bit easier to come in here and worship with your whole heart. It's a little bit easier. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is another moment that we have here in Scripture where Paul's talking about this. This is important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. But also for those who have longed for his appearing. See, here he says again, for I am being poured out like a drink offering. Paul here knows he's about to go. He's about to die. He's about not to make it no more. His mission's done. He's finished the race. And it says here, he has already been poured out. He's already worshipped, and he continues to keep on worshipping. Listen to me. Paul understood the completed work of Christ in his life. The joyful, completed work. Then he can say, I'm being poured out. Because he understands the completed work of God. The joyful work of God in his life. Because then you listen, these three things are important, and you got to remember them every day, because we don't know when our departure is. We don't know when it's near. It can be tomorrow. It can be 30 years down the road. We don't know. But we have to understand these three pieces. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Listen to me again. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Can you say the same? I know many of us, we still got a long ways to go. Can you say the same? Are you fighting the fight? Are you running your race? Are you keeping the faith? Those are not easy things to do. See, to be able to do those things, you have to understand the completed work of Christ in your life. What is this completed work? Right there. The cross. That is the completed work of Christ in your life. The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation. His blood was shed for you. His blood, listen to me, His blood was poured out for you. And all we should do is be able to pour our whole heart to Him. He deserves it. I'm going to say it again. He deserves it. He deserves to be poured out to. Everything. To come in here and give it your all. Give it your everything. Be vulnerable to God. Pour out to Him. Your emotions, all the things that you have in this world, all the messy things, give it to Him. Give it to Jesus. He's completed the work. He deserves our drink offering. He deserves our drink offering. And again, I will say, that is your heart. We are being poured out every day for one thing, to finish well. We continue to be poured out every day so that others finish well. We continue to be poured out every day so that we see our mom, our dad, our brothers and sisters come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being poured out. I prayed before this message, and I wasn't sure if I was going to say it, but I think I need to say it. I asked, God, what do you want to say this evening? I said, what do you want to say? I got some stuff to say. What do you want to say, God? And He said, don't quit. Do not quit. Don't quit on being poured out. Don't quit worshiping. Don't quit the work we are doing here, because we don't do it for ourselves. We do it so that others might know our Lord, our precious, our the Jesus, the lover of my soul, so that they know who Jesus Christ is, the greatest knowledge in all of creation, so that they know. Don't quit. Finish well. Continue to run, because remember what I said back in Philippians. It's not in vain. You do not run. You do not work for Christ in vain. It will never come back void. When you continue and continue and continue to be poured out, it's not in vain. God blesses it. And here Paul is saying, he says, on that day, and not only to me, but also those who long to see Him. Those who long to see Christ. Those who have been poured out. They too will receive the crown of righteousness. This eternal crown that only God can give through our being poured out. Our worship. Our worship. So I want to ask you this question this evening. Are you being poured out? Are you being poured out? Are you the sacrifice? Are you living sacrifices for God? Are you giving your best? Many of us have a hard time saying that. Are you giving your best to God every day? Not just here, not just here in the sanctuary, not just here at church, not just here on Sundays and Wednesdays and whatever day you might come. Are you giving God your best every day? He deserves it, and He calls us to do it. He deserves every worship we can possibly give. Are you finishing well? When your departure is near, is God gonna say, you finished well? My good and faithful servant, you finished well? I pray that He can say that. I pray that when we as a church see Him, that He looks down upon us. And He says, New Life is finishing well. We've got to finish well. Because not only are our lives at stake because of it, but those around us, the community of Huntington, we need to pour out to them. We need to continue to share the gospel, church. To share the gospel. To pour out the gospel from house to house to house. He desires our worship. He desires our life. He desires our full commitment to Him. He is an awesome God, an amazing God. And listen to me, a God that has been too good to us. A God that continues to be too good to us. And how do I know this? How do I know that He continues to be good? Have you looked around for a moment? Have you looked around at the blessings He continues to give to this church? Have you looked at your own life, the blessings He continues to give to you? You don't deserve a single one of them. We don't deserve a single one of these blessings in our church. But He gives it. He's the giver. He deserves our worship. He is an awesome, amazing God. An awesome, amazing God. Are we in worship? Are we worshiping today? He's an awesome, amazing God. An awesome, amazing God. An awesome God. How do I know this? Because the completed work of Jesus Christ. His body was broken and His blood was shed. We do that. We take communion because of those two very things for the salvation of all. He died for all. If you know somebody this evening, if you know somebody, listen to me. You need to share the gospel. Because as Paul here says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." The life we have is like mist, vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. Don't miss your opportunity, church. Don't let mom or dad or brother or sisters go to hell for their sin. Don't let it happen. Share the gospel to them. Share the name of Jesus Christ to them. And listen, I'm going to say this one thing before I close out here. If you're living in sin, that's not pleasing to God. If you are living a life of sin, it is not pleasing to our Father in heaven. It's not. He doesn't deserve your sin. He doesn't deserve you to continue to sin. He doesn't deserve you to walk out on Him. He doesn't deserve it. He's given it all to you. He doesn't deserve it. Let's stand. Maybe today you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you want to come down to the altar and ask and bow down and worship. Maybe you just want to give God all praise. He deserves it.